Hey everybody, welcome to another week of the Soccer Thread Podcast. I'm Dan Schrader, I'm in Portland, Oregon. It's Sunday evening and I forgot to get my beer before we started recording. So as soon as I throw this over to Colin, I'm going to disappear for like 30 seconds. Colin, what's up in the swamp?
The inmates are running the asylum. Dan's gone. Say whatever you want. Toffee's going to win the league this year.
I'm doing keg stands in the corner. Real quick. Raiding the liquor cabinet.
Hey, teacher's back. Settle down. Sit down.
Please don't check the level of the whiskey. Oh, I did not fill it back up. I didn't have a chance to fill it back up with water.
At my school, our teachers are provided with microphones for God knows what reason.
Say whiskey.
I have no idea why.
Yeah, no, I was like, oh.
But a teacher once ran to the bathroom and kept their microphone on while they were in the bathroom.
Nice.
I don't know why. That just Dan leaving and coming back saying teacher's back reminded me of.
I mean, I think about how embarrassed I would be every time that I go to the bathroom while I'm on a Zoom call and I think, oh God, I hope I'm muted. I'm sure I'm muted. But somebody will tell you if you're not, right? So like you'll know pretty quick.
You know, maybe not.
It depends if you're on that Zoom call with 20 16-year-olds or something. Yeah.
Don't kink shame, Dan.
Colin, great to hear things are so good for you in the swamp. I assume you covered it all while I was gone.
Totally.
Great. Palmer, Portland. What's going on in Portland?
A little smoky here. But I'm in my closet. It's not that smoky in the closet. Interesting week. Hiding. Interesting week in this in Portland. Hope everyone's staying safe. We are back inside for feels like it's COVID all over again. Can't go outside.
It's still COVID.
Well,
but those early COVID weeks where you didn't have any idea what was safe.
The early COVID weeks. My bad. You're right.
It feels very much like that.
Yeah.
Smoke is supposed to clear out Monday or Tuesday. Please, please God, let it be.
Yeah.
Get some rain out there.
Yeah. I need to stop watching All or Nothing. So please let me outside.
We'll get on to that. We will get on to that.
We got some emails. We had a podcast last week, had some audio issues. So, I don't think that one will even ever have the chance of seeing the light of day. That's just dead.
No.
So we will go back. We'll do some emails from last week because they were really good, and it'd be a damn shame if those died with the podcast.
Yes, that's true.
Are
we going to give the same answers we gave last week, or are we going to update them by a week?
I was pretty drunk.
Oh, I think they should be.
So I don't know if I can remember.
I agree. It was a really late pod last week. That's probably why some of the audio didn't quite make it. So
this is a 3-day weekend. I didn't have anything to do on Monday.
There was no work on Monday. Angov, sup, Thread. He knows we've been thinking about our 200th episode and what to do. He thinks maybe a rap battle. Mm. So he suggested hypothetical hip-hop aliases for each of us. Ryan Palmer, Empathy's Nuts.
Love it. These Nuts. Love it. I love it.
That's a hilarious mashup of like, you're such a nice guy and you have feelings that other people also experience, but also these nuts.
Yeah.
That's exactly who Ryan Palmer is. It's also a before after two beers of Ryan Palmer as well.
I'm in a fantasy league.
And then back, it comes back around too. After like 10 beers, you're super empathetic.
I'm in a fantasy league and we were told to make our payments by EOD. And that's end of day for you business people out there. And so I named my fantasy team EOD's Nuts.
That is
well done.
I wish I could use that in the business world. That's really good. Now I'm going to think about it every time.
Yeah, somebody sends you that.
Next time I get an email at like 4:30 that's like, hey, can you have this by EOD? I'll be like,
EOD's Nuts, motherfucker. EOD's Nuts. I think you're allowed to say that if you send it over Slack. You can't send it out, but if it's over Slack, you can say OG's Nuts.
Yeah. Mike Samuelson is Kid Chagrincha.
Love
Kid
it.
Chagrinch. Love no it. Chagrin shop.
Love it.
Yeah.
He's the Grinch.
That captures him. That captures him. The suggestion for me is the Sound of Drowna, which it. I obviously love.
Amazing.
And Colin Smith, MC Shed Business.
Giving him the business, baby. I love it.
Colin, apparently the only MC in the group. The rest of us just straight DJing in the background. One MC and three DJs.
Yeah, there you go.
I put a lot of weight on this pod.
That's very good.
I mean, I appreciate it because I'm more of a hype man anyway, so.
Scott also says he kind of likes when we don't stay too guarded and we get a little bit into our more quote-unquote honest and politically aggro version. That might be the direction this podcast is going. I think we watch less and less soccer and care more and more about politics. Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure that's the last pod from last week went in that direction for sure. So
yeah, that's right. George Robin emailed in last week. Thanks, George. As a big pro wrestling fan, he was very excited that somebody, Triple H, told Declan Rice he should stay at West Ham.
Yep. I don't know. What is this connection still? I'm still curious about this connection. And yeah,
it's been a week. We didn't really update our knowledge on Triple H or Declan Rice.
Yeah.
No, not at all. I did look up that somebody, The Rock, is a Arsenal fan? Liverpool. I think it was Liverpool. So there's another connection for you. You pro wrestling fans.
So The Rock is emailing Mohamed Salah and being like, just be a Liverpool legend, never leave. Otherwise, I'll throw you off the top rope.
Or The Rock is just like texting LeBron James, right?
Yeah. This is who you should sign. Sign Messi.
Here's an idea. George also emails in, and so you guys talked a lot on the last released podcast about Michael Jordan in various capacities.
Yeah,
yes.
George says Messi is not Jordan because Cristiano Ronaldo exists. Barcelona does not win every year. Messi is not bigger than the sport he plays, and Messi does not have his own branding. Colin, last week, you just took this apart piece by piece. Want to go at that again?
Yeah, so it's not Jordan's fault that Cristiano Ronaldo was born around the same time he was, right? Like, that's like LeBron being born around the same time Jordan was. Jordan would have had a different type of dominance in the NBA. So, yeah, just makes everything Messi did more impressive that he does it having to be compared to Ronaldo or play against Ronaldo all the time. The second one was like, what, that Barca have lost titles in Messi's prime. Yeah, I mean, they've also won 10 leagues. So, you know, Jordan's still four behind on that one. We'll see if he can catch up.
Jordan also didn't win as an owner.
Yeah, he's a terrible owner. So that's what I'm saying. Messi will probably be a better owner by the time Jordan's figured out how to run a team.
Jordan lost some titles too during his playing days.
He lost some titles?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make the finals in a lot of years, right? Yeah. Also, I think somebody else said last week, well, I'm stealing it, that it's just different if you're trying to compare Champions Leagues. Like, you're going, I think this was your point, Dan. Against like 100 other teams or whatever, 120 teams in the top five or six leagues in Europe, whereas in the NBA, you're going against 30 teams or so. So yeah, a lot easier to win an NBA title than win a Champions League, probably. But still, yeah. So Messi's had great success on both of those team accounts, and you know, he's more dominant in stats, greatest like goals versus Jordan's how many points he scored or whatever. You know, Messi's far more impressive. So yeah, for me, Messi's every, you know, some things Jordan might be better, like ways you measure, Jordan might come out on top, but a lot of them, Messi's going to come out on top. So, yeah, he's there. He's on that level.
Yeah, I agree.
Messi's Adidas brand is pretty lame, too.
Oh,
Jordan brand is clearly better.
Yeah.
But that's just like a beautiful, like, again, a timing thing, right? Like, Jordan like Nike's small at the time. So when they get to sign Jordan, they make this pitch and he's like not supposed to get on the plane. It's all in The Last Dance. He's not supposed to get on the plane. His mom makes him get on the plane. He wants to sign with Adidas.
Right.
You know, it would all gone differently. It's not really Jordan who like pushes that. And then he ends up, you know, Tinker Hatfield exists. And so the sneakers look great and, you know, everything works in his favor in that. Not to say that he didn't perform on the basketball court, because obviously he did, but like the that cultural icon status, yes, lends a lot to his ability and swagger, but also other things.
Why can't Messi get like a logo like Jordan's logo? Beckham had that weird.
Messi has a logo. It's just
Messi
not
has a logo.
Does yeah, it's have, like an M yeah. with like a. All of them now are like the some kind of working in of the number and the. Player's like last initial. It's like an M where the 11 is or 10 is like kind of facing up in.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, it's like that.
But
yeah.
But Beckham had his own. I am David.
His was
Beckham,
more Jordan-ish,
right? Yeah, it was like Jordan-esque. Yeah.
An outline of a player, kind of.
Why can't I mean? So Jordan had that moment. Beckham had. Many moments where he was serving a ball because he did that every time. Is there anything that
that's
like,
all I did.
That Messi, no, Messi's does?
Too, he's too good. He's too diverse.
He's too like... quick. He's too quick to pause him and sketch him.
I think the real history of this is that there was a bunch of after Jordan's logo was so successful, there was a bunch of people who went with the Jordan style of silhouette logo. So, like, if you remember, Shaq had a Shaq logo.
Yes.
Which was, like, him hanging on the
hanging
rim.
On
remember
the rim.
That?
It was so good.
Yes. But those were all, like, bogus compared to the Jordan. They all, like, seemed like Jordan knockoffs. And...
I mean, the Shaq one was too good.
Tiger Woods came through with a TW.
Yeah.
Again, Nike killing it. But then people were like, oh, that's what everyone should do.
Right.
It's, like, make... Like Tom Brady has TB12 and it's like a stylized TB or whatever. And whatever. Everyone
Roger Federer
has
RF.
Yeah, everyone has that shit now.
I mean, CR7, and, right?
Right. But like if you just made like, if we were on like the 20th CR9. Basketball player or the 50th basketball player to have their signature shoes and it was like a different silhouette of them dunking, like you would never be able to tell it's whatever.
Yeah.
Harold Miner or Jordan himself.
Also, it's Adidas. They're not like
yeah. They're
look at what they do with the MLS. they don't care. They have no actual motivation to go and do a good job with this branding.
It's like, true. Leicester's
haven't
I don't
been
know,
good since Run DMC.
I don't know if you guys watched any of the Leicester game today, but Leicester just looked like Adidas recycled all of Colorado's old uniforms.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof. That's low. That is.
That's exactly what I thought as soon as I saw it too.
Yep.
I was like, only people in America are seeing this right now. Like when I was making that mental connection.
Yep. Why is Colorado playing all in the Premier League? Weird.
I wonder when that's happened before with other fans. Like a couple of years ago, maybe like I don't know. I'm just making this shit up. But like Huddersfield is like somebody like a whole group of fans in China are like, why is Huddersfield wearing Shanghai SIPG's old jerseys? I don't get it.
I mean, for sure that's happened.
Yeah.
So George wraps up by saying people should never be compared to Jordan. Even the all-time greats are not Jordan. It's, I mean, in terms of branding and
yeah.
That whole part, I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah, you're never going to get that
in terms
again.
Of dominance and ability, that's probably not. I don't think we'd necessarily agree with that. But
it's also bad fodder for... Yeah, exactly. We have a podcast. We need content.
This is yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to complain about that email. What I mean, come on.
Sweet, sweet content, baby.
Let's move on to this week's emails. That was it's so great. Raymond with a quadruple. What do we call that? A glut this week. You love to see it. First one, he says, you can call me a sentimental person, but if Messi is going to leave Barcelona, then why not just leave the European stage and return home to Argentina? I think there's one word that describes that reason.
Cash food. We've just been talking about Messi and money.
Exactly.
And his branding. Yeah.
Cream.
Yeah, cream, baby.
Cliff, splice in cash rules baby. Everything around me.
Yeah. By the Wu-Tang Clan.
Cash take rules everything around joint. Me. Cream, get the here money. We go. Dollar, check dollar bill, yo.
I appreciate that in this email, Raymond like lays out a scenario where Argentina, I can't remember what they're called, Serie A or whatever, first division, can like make their money back or whatever. But quite frankly, they're just not going to. They will not get the global exposure that you would need, right? Like MLS didn't suddenly get massive TV deals. I mean, you would expect bigger for Messi, but David Beckham, kind of a cultural icon kind of guy, like, more approaching Jordan than in that dimension of like people care about his personal life or whatever. When Beckham came to MLS, right? You're certainly not watching any games of anybody who goes to China. Like, no one gives a shit. Like, it drives local stuff completely, yes, but it is dependent on that local market to be able to fund that situation. And Argentina, as great of a country as it is, is not able to drive that. So It's sentimental, it's romantic, it's wonderful. It would be cool to see, he's not going to either of those top teams because he's a Newell's old boy. But, it'd be cool.
I think a lot of people generally say, like, if you do the math, it doesn't take that many jerseys sold to pay back, like, a decent transfer fee. But the issue with Messi is that he's on $30 million salary a year, right? So even if you make $100 million on jerseys the first year, because that actually only turns out to be 1 million jerseys sold, and it's like possible to do that.
Whatever. How can that be only 1 million jerseys sold, first of all? But go ahead. $100 per jersey?
$100 a jersey? Yeah.
Pure profit? Like, that doesn't count anything to make it, or for a guy to sell it at the shop and blah, blah, blah.
$70.
Jesus. Somehow we've turned into macroeconomics here.
Yeah, well, whatever. Right. Your point is taken. I mean, your point is taken. A lot per jersey.
Also, it's a huge margin. How much are they paying the guy in the shop? Come on, Colin.
I mean, look, I got a guy in China. Dude, you're telling me.
Exactly. So you should know. But the point is, right, like, you could make a big chunk of money, like that initial sale, everyone gets excited.
Yeah.
But then like 3 years down the line, you're still paying him $30 million and everyone already has a Messi jersey. So like, it's just not sustainable in that situation either, I don't think.
No.
Totally agree. I mean, I'd love to see him get back to Argentina, but I don't think it'll be, not this year anyway.
No, I think it'll be like after MLS. Like, if he wants to, he can play. I mean, if he wants to, he can play till he's 45. Like, right?
It'll be the Arjen Robben. He'll go back and play for his boyhood club.
Right.
And he as a player manager to help them like avoid bankruptcy.
Carlos Tevez is doing it right now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And think about how much better fucking Messi is. How much better he is than Carlos Tevez, but Carlos Tevez also like not a guy who really ever came off as giving a shit off the field. Like, he was like really into golfing. He'd show up out of shape. Blah, blah, blah. So like, I think Messi will age a lot more gracefully. Let's just say that.
Next email from Raymond, talking about PT Martinez, who got transferred to some Saudi club, all something.
Yeah. This is your expertise.
I know, I should get that. I don't remember. So he says, yes, Atlanta United recouped their $2 million that they paid in transfer fee, but they also paid him $2 million a year or something. Sorry, Raymond's got the actual numbers here, but I'm just having trouble reading because I'm now half a beer in. So his point is they don't actually get all their money back. They made their transfer fee back, but they also paid him his salary. So they're still negative $2 million over the course of his time in Atlanta. Palmer, is that a problem? I mean, we always talk about these numbers, and we don't really talk about the actual like salary part, I feel like.
Are they losing money?
I mean, they lost money overall, if you include all of the money that they like put out for PT Martinez.
Right.
Is that a
problem? Let me give you the real numbers real quick before you make that call. They bought him for $16 million, and then a year and a half later, they sold him for $18 million. So they're $2 million up.
Okay.
But they were paying him a couple million a year. So they paid about a year and a half worth of that. So if you include the wages that he was paid,
So they're
like
even.
$1 million down.
Okay.
A little bit down.
Right.
Right.
I mean, shit. Like, this is why people are, you know, this is why I don't make these decisions, because I don't understand any of this shit.
Yep.
It seems like he wasn't working at Atlanta United, wasn't seeing a ton of playing time. The return on investment wasn't great. Offload him. Like, just makes sense to me. But
I mean, that makes sense to me too.
I think it's great business. I think it's fucking brilliant business personally. Because you take a shot at a $16 million. You took a $16 million swing, right? If you thought this guy was worth $16 million, if he hits, you're selling him on for $50, right? If he, and you probably took him, kept him for 2 years and he won you two titles and he scored 30 goals or whatever. Yeah,
right. I know,
whatever. He didn't. He never.
It went about as poorly as it could have.
Basically, yeah. I mean, he never showed anything. I mean, a couple moments of whatever, but so did Freddie Adu, fucking shit. Like, and then you're able to sell him on and you lost about $1 million and like some time right off of it. Like, how many guys is a team that's, you know, one of the biggest spenders in MLS, like they just spend $1 million on a transfer fee or $1 million of wages on a low grade DP or high TAM type guy over the course of 18 months who also doesn't work out. And we none of us give a shit because we don't really care about that guy. Like, oh, LAFC signed Lee Wynn and he didn't break in really at LAFC. So they gave him back to the Revolution or whatever. Like, no one cares if you like just spent $1 million over 18 months. That's not a big outlay for them, but the upside was huge. So if that's the worst that you can do, like keep doing that. That's good business.
I heard an interesting take on this from another podcast. Morrisonic is like a Portland centric Timbers podcast. And I'm going to just steal their take. So I will give them credit for it.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. Their point was this actually only happens because Frank DeFraud is the coach, because the Saudi club can look at this and be like, I mean, that's a tough situation. He's still good, right? Like if they had a good coach or a good system in place or whatever, and this happened, everyone would be like, oh no, that's on the player. Like something's wrong.
If it was
there.
Tata Martino, you'd be like, oh, if you can't play for him. Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that it was such a total mess and no, like everyone wrote it off as De Boer's fault, that actually gives Atlanta the out to be able to be like, he's still worth something. Here you go. Like, yeah, how about this deal?
That's a great point. That's a great point. Although
it also makes you wonder if that's true, right? Like, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do big things in at Al Nassr or whatever, but whether if Tata had stayed or, you know, they had gotten a real coach instead of a fraud, whether he would still be there and he would have scored 15 goals a year and, you know, been something at least.
But doesn't that maybe inspire the buying team to maybe fuck with the selling team and buy him for a lower price? And because they're like, look, they hired this idiot as a coach. These guys must be dumb. So,
well, I mean, I think also ends up being a good situation for MLS where the player wants to get out because it's been a shit show. The Saudi club knows they have to overpay to get a player of his age and potential to come to Saudi Arabia instead of, you know, if he'd worked out, he wouldn't be going to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's no club in England that's willing to pay that number for a guy who didn't work in MLS. Right. You have to overpay if you're a less attractive destination. They're a less attractive destination. Okay. They overpay. So that's nice for MLS or whatever for
Atlanta,
that's where the interest is coming from. Right.
Yeah.
So
I wonder though, how much this actually damages the kind of place in world soccer that Atlanta wants to be, if not actually all of MLS. Right. Because Atlanta has done this thing, right, where they get Joseph Martinez. They sell him on, or is he just injured right
He's
now?
He's injured.
He's injured.
The guy that went off to Newcastle.
Almiron.
I'm unprepared.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like Atlanta had set themselves up as a place where a young South American or Central American guy could come, play a couple years, win a championship, and then move off into Europe.
Yeah,
and,
but to your...
this, if Pity Martinez did, couldn't do that, the yeah. next guy is going to be like, he was South American Player of the Year.
Yeah, he's
and done. It went south.
But
so,
but Dan, like, to your point and to Morrisonic's point, those players were all players under Tata Martinez or Martino Tata
Martino
or Tata Martino. Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, I don't disagree.
I mean, but. So you know, if PT was there, maybe something, maybe it would have gone differently, but.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then that, I think, that also might close up. I think it also brings up another question that we can ask and then move on. But does that close up the like the pathway to Atlanta from those Latin American teams?
I mean,
I don't think so. I think that you there was some draw of Tata Martino being there when it initially started, like Almirón came or whatever. And then, you know, they had success and they're paying big money, big wages, and Pity Martinez comes. I do think that this hurts their reputation, but I don't think it kills it because, like, I think personally, if you think of the reverse happening, like players either going from, say, MLS, they were going to Argentina, or MLS going to Liga MX, you wouldn't be like, who's managing Boca right now? Who's managing River Plate?
Right.
You'd be like, oh, he's going to River. Like, he's going to a big club.
Yeah.
They could have a shit show going on right there, but you'd be like, oh, that's a big club. There's going to be opportunity. You know, the manager's going to turn over. I mean, if Pity Martinez had stuck it out, the manager has turned over, right? Like, he might break through. Managers don't stay at places forever. So...
Right.
I think it's more about the big club thing and having success. So if Atlanta puts in another manager, has success, which they should because they spend, they'll be fine. It's,
yeah.
You know, like the LA Galaxy, right? LA Galaxy still gets, LA Galaxy's been a shit show up and down, and they still get Chicharito. They still draw. They're the, you know, they're clearly the second best in the city last year.
Yeah, well, they're LA.
They still
though.
Were able to get Zlatan, and you know, it's more about, I think the club's bigger than the manager.
Yeah, the LA's a big yeah. a big draw for humans.
Last one from Raymond. The Premier League is starting back up. Just wondering what you guys eat and drink. He's never really found an English beer that he likes. English breakfast. It's really just an American breakfast without the pancakes.
I feel like that's a hot take. I don't.
There's also
don't,
beans.
Yeah, there's like yeah, tomatoes, yeah, like beans and tomatoes. Beans and tomatoes. Yeah. Hey, whatever, Raymond. Whatever. If you're having that for breakfast with pancakes, I mean, I'm in. Quite frankly, I'm in.
I'm not mad. No, I'm not at all upset by this take. I just not sure I endorse it. But English food and drink, Palmer.
I really like to put tomato, salt and pepper tomato on top of my pancakes. That's what I love.
there's I'm literally sorry. All right. I talked about in two pods ago, like that. I only listen to kids songs now because
yeah.
I have a kid.
Yeah.
And there's literally a song that's like, "Do you like broccoli? Yes. Do you like ice cream? Yes. Do you like broccoli ice cream? No." And one of the verses is tomatoes and pancakes. Do you like tomatoes? Yes. Do you like pancakes? No. Do you like tomato pancakes? No. Gross.
You know, who knows? I've, you know, the tomato in an English breakfast is good. I'm not drinking beer in the morning because these games kick off at 4:30 in the morning. So for me, it's just a lot of coffee.
You're not
probably
from Milwaukee.
A pot of coffee.
Yeah, bish.
Maybe some toast, depending on if I'm intermittent fasting or not.
Well, I mean, what if you were hypothetically on a vacation in England watching soccer? What are you drinking?
I love a Boddington's. But if I was in England, they don't even sell this stuff. It's always just like IPA from the, just some IPA. Can I get an IPA? Can I get a lager? Or can I get
like, there's like four choices. Usually
give me the cold kind.
Yeah. There's Carling Extra Cold, which is like hilarious that they like, are they really keeping one fridge like colder than the other fridges? Maybe. Like, I'm not saying they aren't.
I mean, it's because they aren't in fridges. They're in the cellar, right? Yeah, they're cellar temperature.
Maybe. Deeper in the ground? How does that work?
There's a pulley system. They have to like yank it up. It's way down
it's
there.
It's down there with the well.
Fish and chips. How about food? English food, Colin?
Oh, if we're going to talk English food, we got to start and end with mushy peas, baby.
Mushy peas.
Yeah.
Mushy peas. This is a great one of our favorite stories of our time. The four of us in England was at a bar after an Everton game ordering food. I believe it was Mike who went up there to order first. Orders this food at the, you order your food at the bar and you get a number kind of, and you take it back to your seat, and he orders this food, and the barkeeper, whatever, whoever is like, out of mushy peas. And
got a mushy peas.
And Mike is like, asks what for clarification, like six times. I'm standing there. I have no idea either, but I'm laughing my ass off. And we finally figure out odd mushy peas means hard or mushy peas. Do you want the peas that come with your sandwich to be hard or mushy? And we picked mushy. Most of us, I think, picked mushy. They're like kind of like the mashed potatoes of peas, I would say.
Hey, they're great.
And that they're great. Yeah, that's how you use them. I was like slathering them on my chips that came with whatever kind of sandwich I ordered. And from that day forth,
mushy peas. It's hard or mushy? I thought it was garden.
Out of mushy. No, yeah, it's hard or mushy.
I thought it was.
I got hard at one point, and they were like larger peas than we get in America.
Cliff's gonna go insane with that "I got hard at one point" soundbite there.
I only got hard at one point in that entire trip.
Oh my god! There you go. Yeah, English food and drink not that great.
Not that great.
Nope, it's all great. Just brown. There is not a lot of colors.
And there's a sauce literally called brown sauce.
Brown sauce.
Spencer Dixon writes in, Premier League starts this weekend? Is that real?
Yeah.
Is there thread streaks?
Does someone want to tell Spurs that? I don't know.
Harry Kane only trained with him once. Palmer, come on.
Oh, God. Don't get me started, Dan.
I'm baiting him. There's no thread streaks this year after the absolute shenanigans that were last year and the interruption to the league, et cetera, et cetera. The robot that Super Producer Cliff built could not, it was not the robot's fault. It was the league's fault.
Yep.
Game weeks being played in game weeks that were not the correct game weeks, overlapping game weeks, makeup game weeks, all of it, way too difficult to try to like fully automate. So we're not doing it this year.
I mean, honestly, are we surprised that VAR is so bad in England, given that they can't even make a schedule?
No.
Right.
Not at all.
Okay.
And that's why it's so good in Germany, because they dominate a schedule.
Correlation.
Spencer also says Messi's staying at Barcelona. So his email is a week newer than Raymond's was. So on the Lost Pod, I had a whole thing about Messi. I don't think he's staying. The transfer window's open until October. He wants out. He's just calling the club's bluff right now, because if he stays a year, he's going to get to walk away on a free. And there are Champions League games at the end of October, and as soon as he plays one of those, he's worth a lot less money to anybody else that wants to win a Champions League with Lionel Messi on their team. So I don't think he's staying. I think we'll see him in Manchester City before. Champions League is end of October. I think the transfer window is beginning middle of October.
I love this take.
He'll be in City by the beginning of October.
I love this take.
You heard it here.
This is such a strong take that Colin won't even bet socks on it.
I would totally bet socks on it. I feel like I tried to last week and you said no. It's a strong take, but you still only think it's like, you know, 25% likely to happen or something like that, which still
exactly.
25% is higher than I would give it. So I'm still giving you credit for the heat of the take, because I don't think so. I think he's staying. I think his record with walking away from the Argentina national team, and then coming back soon after speaks for itself that, you know, he likes to do these things to show that he's upset with management and see what he can do. And there's an election for the president in Barcelona or of FC Barcelona in the spring. So obviously, you know, he's making his case that, look, if you keep the current power structure, I'm out, put in the people I want, and maybe I'll stay. Of course he's doing that. He should. He's bigger than the club at this point.
Are we going to see a president player?
He's Mace K. Un Club.
Is he,
think about that.
Is he going to be president player?
I mean, he should be. He should be.
That'd be amazing if he ran.
So dope.
That would be amazing. One of the things I think he actually may leave, one of the reasons that I think he actually may leave is because in that interview, like the all white interview that he did wearing slides, he says there's been no plan for years. Every player acquisition is just filling holes, which seems like he's really throwing all the players under the bus. Yeah. I mean, that's tough for, you know, Arturo Vidal.
Griezmann, you suck.
Griezmann. Yeah, like all these guys. Yeah, he's now got to get back on the field and be like, "Oh, I didn't mean you." Like,
right.
It's fine.
All these guys
keep
suck,
passing me the ball.
Except you. You're good. You're good. You suck. You
people
suck.
Say him. He's really close to Luis Suarez, which is kind of crazy to me, given personalities. But I mean, he can't be really thinking that about Suarez. I mean, he's really that close to the
shaming.
Guy, and he's
Messi likes biting.
I don't know.
So there you go. Yeah. Messi's still at Barcelona for now. I'm still just hoping for the drama. I don't want this drama to be done. Keep it coming. Keep it coming.
I agree with that. More statements from Messi. But I don't care what they are. Just roll out the statements.
More faxed statements, please. Weston McKennie on loan to Juventus with the kind of forced buy clause. That's if Juventus make it to the Champions League knockouts. Is that right?
Yep.
You guys might have covered this in the most recently released podcast.
I think we did.
Spencer likes this. He says Juve's got a bunch of games. He'll get on the field a good amount. Not to mention there's a different style that he'll get to learn. So there you go. Do you think so? Spencer follows up. What league translates to best performances by its player at the international stage? So, is the German league style more conducive to showing up for a national team, or is Italy?
Is this question asking like in terms of U.S. men's national team players or just in general?
I think it's like in general, like if you were, I mean, Weston's one, but say you're Portugal, you're Portuguese and you knew Bruno Fernandes was never going to stay at Porto. He's going to go somewhere in continental Europe.
Right.
He could go to Man U. He could go to PSG. He could go to Bayern. Like, which league would you want him playing in for his development? Agnostic to the position or the actual player.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's Germany. Germany's solid. It's got good competition. And a big reason, they take a winter break. So these guys aren't decimated by the time the summer rolls around and they're playing international tournaments.
Germany also seems that like they're obviously very successful, but they also seem to be really good at bringing young guys through and putting young guys on the pitch, a la our young Americans, where I feel like you don't necessarily, I mean, I'm obviously biased because we don't see a ton of American players in Spain and now more in Italy, less in France. But it seems like in terms of development of the game, it seems like Germany does a pretty good job. I don't know why Spain isn't like the answer. I feel like all of Spain was on the Spanish national team or all of the La Liga.
All those guys.
Yeah. But I guess if they were to leave, I guess I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the question. Like, would David Silva have been, or Juan Mata have been better if they had stayed at wherever, Villarreal or Valencia, or then gotten to move to Madrid?
Yeah.
for me, I think one, the factor that you can maybe generalize across these leagues, because like, okay, yeah, style of play is like a little different and it's hard to quantify. But what I would be interested in looking at here, and I think Germany would come out on top, but I don't really know, is how long the average managerial term is. I think for a player's development, especially somebody at Weston's age, I would want them going somewhere where they'd get a manager for 2 years minimum and not 6 months, 9 months, the next guy, okay, 2 years, that's a long stay, right? And then 3 months.
Start blah, over, blah, fight blah, for blah, your blah, spot blah, again.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's something good about fighting for a spot, but I think...
So Premier League's out.
Yeah. I mean, I think Premier League's maybe not the worst. I think feel like Italy is the worst. That's maybe just like my bias or whatever, but I feel like we see a lot of turnover in even big clubs in Italy that seem to be doing well. Again, I don't follow like Serie A that closely to know like how they're doing vis-a-vis expectations or whatever. But yeah, I think that would be the interesting thing to look at is like how big of a leash do they give managers when he's trying to put a new style in, doesn't have the right guys yet. Are they going to give him another year to get those guys kind of situations?
Yeah, I think that's a good good angle to take on that question.
Yeah,
very nice. Excellent emails, folks. Soccerthread@gmail.com. Please email in. We absolutely love it. It is the highlight. So soccerthread@gmail.com. Premier League's back, as mentioned. English food, not that good. English beer, not that good. English soccer, it's what we watch. Yeah. Unclear if it's that good or not, but it's what we watch.
Yeah. I think it's pretty good. I mean,
I like this one.
Collins, yeah, exactly. Like
Collins riding
it's good
high.
Drama.
Get out of here.
It's good drama, right? Even if you don't like the result,
you
or
couldn't even log on to watch whatever. It today.
That's true. I could not. Like I could not figure out the Peacock.
Let's start on Saturday. Liverpool 4, Leeds 3. Liverpool win. A hat trick from Salah. 2 penalties. On pace for. I feel like we do this every year. Whoever scores a hat trick in week one, on pace for 116. What does it come out to?
It's good math.
106.
It's no Dixie Dean. But
4.
Nope.
And 4.
114.
Yeah, 114.
Yes.
It's no Dixie Dean.
114. It's no Dixie Dean. We'll see if we can keep up this blistering pace. Tune in next week. We'll find out. The other goal coming from VVD, of course, big header. But he also made a big mistake, looking a little iffy. We did a preview last week, and Palmer, one of the things I remember through the haze of last week, was Palmer said Liverpool are going to go as Virgil van Dijk go. So
I
what do you think about
that.
This one, Palmer?
I did say that. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think Liverpool looked a little shaky, a little hangover. As I said last week, Klopp said that they were not looking at defending anything. They were attacking. And the score definitely plays out as they were attacking 4-3. So, you know, I think the question on here is Liverpool not as good as they were? Early doors. We'll get on to Spurs in a minute. And I'm going to change my early doors prediction, but I think Liverpool were good. But as Colin, I'm sure is ready to talk about, I think Leeds and Bielsa were better than expected.
Yeah,
go on then, Colin.
I just did a little El Loco belly dancing with my El Loco t-shirt on right now.
Fuerte.
Yeah, I mean, I think
fuerte.
Más fuerte. Yeah, I mean, I think Leeds were better than expected. I think this was the prediction I made. I was very negative on them in the pod last week. But I said, hey, they're going to come at people. They're going to score goals. And that's what they fucking did. Yep. Jack Harrison looked like the player. Like, yep. I mean, he was the number one draft pick in an MLS super draft. But he was picked in an MLS super draft.
Yep.
Like, the fuck?
Yeah.
He looked good. I mean, made Trent Alexander-Arnold, was he Young Player of the Year last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I just, a lot of energy, took the game to them, had the like nicer goals, like that Liverpool goals come off set pieces and penalties. Don't get me wrong, Liverpool win the game. That's kind of another thing I've been saying on the Gmail or whatever about Liverpool is like, their expected goals last year weren't that high, but they know how to get it done. This team is like savvy. Klopp's a great manager. They get it done.
It never felt like Liverpool were going to lose the game. Like, it definitely could have ended in a draw, but like it wasn't. Liverpool were in complete control of the game. They just made really three bad mistakes, and those three mistakes.
I mean, there's three shots on goal, three goals.
Yeah, which is not a good look, because you know they spent a lot of money on Alisson, and he was a big factor to last year. And Van Dijk had a really, really bad mistake. But
that third Leeds goal was just class.
The first one was good too.
Calvin Phillips, great pass on the first one that Jack Harrison made the great run on. Calvin Phillips got his England call up this week. So I mean, they have some ability. I do think it's kind of all in the going forward direction.
They look shaky at the back.
I think they're going to be a lot of fun, man. I'm not walking back anything I said and was lost forever last week. I think they're going to be a shitload of fun, and they may still go down. Yeah.
You did a Leeds preview and said they were going to score 100 goals and give up 200.
I don't know what I said, but that sounds about right. Yeah. Are they on pace for that?
That's about right. Like, they're right on pace.
You're just basically going to get every week from Leeds. Yeah. So
It'd be great.
I think it will be. Yeah.
At halftime, the commentators were saying, like, it'll be really interesting to see between Klopp and Bielsa which one blinks first. And I was like, you guys are professional commentators on NBC. Even I know that Bielsa he's not blinking. Like, you think Bielsa's in the changing room being like, hey, let's dial it back, guys. Let's just see this game out.
Okay. All right. Let's park the bus.
Yeah, I don't think so, man.
Come on. I think that's why
he gets fired from places like wherever he was in Italy for like 2 days before he quit.
Yeah.
Like, he had some conversations where he said he'll never do that. And they said, what? You'll never do that?
You'll never see a game out?
What are you talking about?
We will attack. Klopp's, there was like a video of Klopp at the end of the game after his post-match hugs. You could see him walking away, and he kind of catches the camera, and he makes eye contact with it, and he just goes, wow. Which is pretty cool, like a sigh of relief, but also just kind of an understanding of, you know, that maybe Leeds are going to give a lot of people some pretty good competition this year.
Yeah, and I just think they're going to hang five
on Spurs.
Yeah, I mean, I just think Spurs might hang seven on them.
Nope.
Well, probably not. Yeah, which is like Klopp's been. Over the past, I don't know, however many years now, 5 years he's been in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. Like, the heavy metal football thing has been pretty like, you know, we're doing this differently. Like, we're coming at you. And early on, they were that team, right? They had all kinds of shambolic shit in the back, and they'd have one day where they were really great and they scored a bunch of goals. And then you'd be like, yeah, but when they play a good team, they're going to give up four and, you know, whatever, Mignolet or whoever was the key, Karius was going to flap at something. And,
right.
You know, you couldn't take him seriously, but they still were like, other teams were going, ooh, wow, these guys play different. I think that's basically what Leeds are going to be, the shit version of that this year. Like, they're going to have like the Crystal Palaces of the world or whatever going to be like, well, fuck, these guys are no fun to play.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, yeah,
right.
And exactly. Right. This is what I'm talking about when I'm like, yeah, English soccer is fun. English soccer is good. Yeah. Arsenal, and David Luiz is
and
fun.
And every week.
This shit is fun.
Every week.
Yeah.
We're going to get videos of Bielsa telling his translator to like speak with more power.
Yeah.
Express my feelings in the way that you also speak.
I don't even think that was it, Dan, that he was like trying to say, express my feelings with the way that I am trying to say these things. I think he was literally saying, like, he's always coaching, right? Like, this is the constant coach. He's just
coaching
saying,
it up.
He's like, the people in the back can't hear you. They're asking you questions and you need to speak for me. So speak louder so they can hear you. It was just like, it's just so,
it was just tactical. It was just tactics, baby.
People are going to get pissed about this and fuck the English press. They're like, this guy needs to learn English. Fuck you. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, just love this man for who he is. And like the man is giving this kid a job and he's just like, do better at the job. Like, let me coach you through this. It's not even so good.
To be clear, this is not a professional interpreter. This guy is like an analyst. Like he's like, you know, paid to put together the giant reports that Bielsa goes through. Right. He's like, he's just a football dude who speaks both Spanish and English.
It's so great though. And it's just so great.
And Bielsa's like, okay, now you're also going to do this for me. And the guy's like, I don't want to speak in front of the entire whatever media and country of England and world on your behalf.
Yep.
And he's like, no, you can do it.
But if you're going to do it, do it.
And do it mas fuerte. Like,
he's like, yeah, you're a center midfielder, but you're playing right back. Let's go.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's
exactly.
So good. It's just so good.
I'll help you out.
I love it.
We'll play right back.
I believe in you. You can do it.
Yep.
You're on my side of the pitch. I'll just talk you through it. I'll just help you out.
I love it.
So good. So good. Arsenal beat Fulham. Run order. Meh. Who cares?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Moving on.
Sorry, Pearson.
It was 4:30. I was not getting up at 4:30 to watch that game.
How many of those were Tim Ream's fault? That's the only question.
I don't know. My big takeaway from this was like Fulham's kits don't look very good. I don't know.
It's a shame. I like this on the run over. West Ham 0, Newcastle 2. Pop quiz. Which one of these clubs started Andy Carroll up top?
Palmer?
Newcastle.
That's correct.
Come on.
Yeah, he's back.
They're the same. Like, who knows?
May as well be the same.
Yeah.
Just claret and blue stripes.
Yeah. He's been in both of them.
Leicester 3-0 over West Brom. Palmer loves a Jamie Vardy penalty.
I'll tell you what. He had two penalties. He went the same way. I know that Salah had two penalties. Salah went down the middle, I feel like, twice.
Just the first one.
Yeah. He made the goalkeeper go the wrong way. Fair. But Vardy's penalties, if you haven't seen these are side net with power. These are like, if the goalkeeper
6 inches
goes
inside the post.
Oh my God. Just like very, like just nicks, just takes a piece of paint off the post. How's that for plosives? these are just really, really good penalties. And we're talking about great penalties from an English national team player. Vardy's fucking good at soccer. Brendan Rodgers might be a good manager. Could Brendan Rodgers manage Spurs? Do I want Brendan Rodgers at Spurs? Did I just say that out loud? Oh my God.
Do you want Vardy up top for Spurs?
Wouldn't mind it.
We never put Vardy in this conversation, but he's the Premier League Golden Boot winner. He does it for Leicester. Like, the guys setting him up aren't, you know, as good as they are at City or Spurs or like wherever you're going to say. Like, he doesn't have that much attacking talent around him as any of those places. It doesn't matter who he has around him. He's been doing it for 5 years now. Like, the first time when they burst onto the scene, it seemed like, okay, it was a one-off. People weren't ready. Okay, maybe
he just runs fast.
He just runs
in his
fast.
Prime.
Exactly. He's just so fast. Mahrez is such a good fit. It's this, like I probably said on the pod, square peg, square hole situation. It's just perfect. he's just this, the right tool, and you know, whatever. But he fucking just does it every year. And and of course, there's a huge scouting report on him now, and it doesn't fucking
still
matter.
Still does it.
Still does it. He's a great player. Yep. He's a fucking great player.
And then obviously the game you guys want to talk about, especially Ryan Palmer.
Yeah.
Spurs.
How much time do we have left for this pod? About another hour?
We got as much as you need. Everton won.
Jesus Christ.
Everton midfield, all brand new. Spurs look like they're in preseason form. Hard to blame them there.
Preseason.
I don't even care which one he wants to go
first.
Look
like we're in a season.
Go on then, Palmer.
Let's start with the positive. Hummus looks fucking great, Colin.
Yeah.
I'll put him second probably on the new signings list, but
he looked incredible today.
Yeah, he did look good. I think it's a fit situation, right?
Square peg, square hole.
But We actually didn't play him in midfield, right? We played 4-3-3 with him off the right wing. And the way, so then we played Gomez, Decore, and Alan in the center. And Alan, I think, was fantastic. But that's neither here nor there. James is the right wing with left-footed right wing who likes to cut back in and also play a little deeper. Whereas Richarlison off the left, he's been playing as a 4-4-2 striker, but he's really a left wing who is the opposite, right? He wants to get in behind. He's young. He's fast. He's a bully. He's great in the air, blah, 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 all that stuff. So the James dropping off to take space and then hitting the ball with his left foot across the field seems to be what he wants to do every time. He's very good at. And Richarlison is always making that run. He's always more physical than the guy he's going up against. And like, he just wants that fucking ball every time. So it's just a really good fit of like a guy who wants to pass and a guy who Richarlison like fucking never passes. So it compared to where we were 2 years ago, or was that 3 years ago when we signed Davy Klaassen, Rooney and Gylfi Sigurdsson all to play the same position, all with the exact same skill set. It just seems like, oh fuck, we have a plan.
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
what's
we,
the hope? What's
I the wish hope the plan wasn't. Yeah, exactly. I wish the plan Check wasn't it. Sign a bunch of 29-year-old guys. That doesn't make me feel like the plan ends with us winning the league. But it just feels good to have a plan. Like, yeah. I don't know. The hope meter is definitely...
It's through the roof.
Through the roof. We're going to finish in the top 9. Oh, like, let's fucking get
You're
after
finishing
it.
Above Spurs. I guarantee that.
I don't know if that's really... I don't think we'll finish above Spurs. But... I think we'll finish above what?
Wolves. The answer is Wolves.
I was going to say everyone, but I was thinking ninth or above, right? Like,
well, ninth so Dan, if they finish above behind above Leicester Wolves, they have to be sixth. Otherwise, I'm going to owe Colin
Otherwise,
some socks.
That's
socks,
right. Socks. Socks. But yeah, we're going to be all right.
I spent a lot of this game thinking about how you have gone on record pretty continually since 2014 calling James overrated. So
me?
Yeah. So what is the transition from he is the classic World Cup overperformer. He's been overrated.
Yes,
sitting
yes.
on a bench, yes, never making that. It a big club. How emotionally, how will you deal with that for the last 6 years and now club legend James Rodriguez?
Oh, well, I'm so ready for it.
I don't think Dan, to,
you
to your
me?
Point,
that's so good.
To your point, he's properly rated.
That is his level. This is his level.
He can't play at a big club. He's not at a big club anymore. So he'll be, you know,
right,
a big
Everton
fish.
Is properly rated.
Yeah, exactly. He's
exactly
right. Club legend.
His level is taking Theo Walcott's starting job, right? That's his level.
Club legend.
His level is not taking, I don't know, whatever, Gareth Bale's starting job or right. whoever he was trying to take in Madrid, right?
Club legend.
So, yes. Yeah. So I think... I love him. It's a great fit. It's, you know, the only thing I compare to is when we signed Samuel Eto'o, like, what was that, 3 years ago, where it was like, we have that player on our team now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He is a huge name.
Yeah.
And he was doing things that you were not used to an Everton player doing. Yes, there were other things about him that were like he was off the pace or whatever, or blah, blah, blah. But I mean, as an Everton fan, even if our results aren't measurably different in the table than we were in the late days of Moyes, having our attacking talent be James Rodriguez and Sam Eto'o and young Lukaku and whatever is so much more exciting than when it was Jelovic and Naismith and, you know, whoever, like... Strack and like all these guys, like, yeah, we got some results and it was fine and it was good, but we were, I don't know, we were not that fun. It was not that interesting. Now it's fucking, this is, Hamas is super fun.
Game one.
Stephen Naismith takes offense.
I love it. I love game one. It was great.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's a bigger roller coaster, right? Like, Moyes, those guys, you were like, yeah, they're going to give you this. You know what you're getting. And we could be, sixth, or we could be ninth. But that's it. That's like our window.
But, we're gonna draw a lot of games.
Yeah, we're gonna exactly. But now, it's
how do
like,
you feel about now being the club that sucks up Real Madrid washouts instead of Barcelona washouts?
Yeah, I feel like I preferred our Barcelona washout era, but the Real Madrid era's off to a great start.
So far.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, our best player is still Luka Dean, who I read the there was a stat like since he's joined Everton, he's created more chances than any other defender in any of the top five leagues, which used to be the Leighton Baines stat. Like Leighton Baines owned that stat, creates more chances than any other defender in the top five leagues. So to replace Leighton Baines with a French Leighton Baines, who's younger, like that was just for an Everton fan.
Good work. That's good.
Amazing.
Work.
Amazing. Yeah. So.
All right, Palmer. I see you over there. You're bottled up. Let it go. Let it rip.
No, this is. This
how's
is why
Jose era?
This is why I'm empathy's nuts, because I wanted to give Colin.
You did. You said
I wanted to give Colin an opportunity to get everything off his chest and be happy. Bring the pod up.
So brought
I
can, it down
so I can bring the pod back down here.
All right, get it.
All
right, channel those dirty feet.
Exactly. I'm gonna take my socks off, walk around a little bit.
Are you talking about Jose, Ben Olsen, Marino?
I want to talk. I want to talk specifically to those who have texted me about the All or Nothing documentary and about how Jose doesn't seem as bad of a person as you think he is. I just want you guys to know that he is as bad as you think he is. And just like the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary, which was produced by Michael Jordan, Jose Mourinho had final say on the cut. So he was never going to make Jose Mourinho look bad. In fact, he was going to make Jose Mourinho look good. But today, Jose Mourinho looks like a fucking moron. This is the first game of the season. If you can't figure out how to get your players ready to go, ready to play. You can't. They had zero tactics. I don't know what their tactics were. Maybe the tactics were, we're just going to be a counterattacking team because they didn't press. They definitely didn't press. They looked really dangerous on the counterattack, but they did that maybe once. And then they just sat back. He complained about the goal, which was given up on a set piece.
Look at Gene.
Great ball. He complained about the fact that the ball was placed like a couple yards further ahead than where it should have been. Fuck off. He blamed the players, said that the players were lazy. Some weren't ready to play. That's on the manager. That's not the fucking players. That's on the manager. Your job is to get them ready. It's game one. I mean,
those specific guys aren't ready to play. Pick other guys.
Yeah, it's like, it's just insane. We don't buy players. We bought two players during the transfer, and the transfer season was much shorter than it usually is. And we go and we buy two players that he asked for. Like, it's just this, he has no excuses, and yet he has all of the excuses in the book. Harry
all
Kane.
These, yeah, he's got all the excuses.
It's crazy. Harry Kane couldn't get any service. Didn't look like he was on the pitch. Mourinho blamed Dele today. Calling him lazy and said that he wasn't ready to play. It's just like, I cannot stand this man. And please do not text me about how Mourinho looks better of a person than he actually is, because he's a terrible human being. He plays head games. The head games you can see in the Amazon doc. Like, just I hate this team. I hate watching this team. I said this last week that I think our Spurs the most least likable team in the league, and I say yes. It's just, I don't want to be a fan of this team anymore. It hurts. Bring back Sherwood. Jesus.
Wow. Palmer, I think I might end up being a Leeds fan. I don't have a Premier League team. I saw about 60 minutes of this game. It might happen. So come on along.
I can't drop them.
You love a team in white.
Listen, I can't drop Spurs just because, you know, they're my team. But God, I am not a fan of Mourinho and this team. So get rid of Mourinho and I'll become a Spurs fan again.
So what's the actual situation with him? Because
I mean,
this is his third year. He came in mid-year a year and a half ago. Is that right?
This is his first year at Spurs, full year, because he came in
first full.
Yeah, he came in halfway through last year.
So he's a three-season manager, and he's into his third season after three quarters of one season.
I mean, so in the preview, I said this is how the season's going to go. They're going to be shit in the Premier League. They might win a trophy. It will be some sort of Carabao EFL Cup or something. So they'll get some hardware. And then he'll be like, look, I won a trophy at Spurs, which hasn't happened in forever. But he's not going to do it in a fun way. It's going to be 1-0 games just like this. We've lost all of the fun identity that this Spurs team was under Pochettino when we were young, and we have no identity anymore. Like, we just don't know who we are. Like, Son, like, he just didn't even, like, Son didn't even look like he was having fun today. When that happens, like, it's just like,
you know,
what
it's trouble.
Are we doing? And we have fun players, like, and Ndombele looks fun. Bergwijn looks like he could be really great. And they started on the bench. Why start those guys on the bench when you had Lucas Moura, who's washed? Højbjerg was a transfer, and he was fucking awful today. Terrible.
Should have been sent off.
Definitely should have been sent off. I can't even remember the name of the other guy that we signed, and he was awful too. Dyer playing at center back. Like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, God.
There it is, Burrish. You got it. You had to wait a long time, but there it was.
Oh, it was worth it. It was worth it.
Oh, man. So
I mean,
good.
I think, I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Palmer. I'm just saying, Europa League this year, Jose's won one of those with Manchester United. I think you're spot on there.
Yeah, but like, when Jose started at Manchester United, at least they looked dangerous for a while. Like, I remember when he first started at Manchester United, maybe. And they won they were winning like 5-0, and it was like, oh shit, this team is good. And then he played his head games. It's like, I said this when Jose was hired, everything was in fast forward, right? Like, and we have fast forwarded to his third year, where he just ruins everybody. Like, he is going to figure out a way to just ruin Alex Morgan mentally. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he will.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
But look, that's game last year you finished above Arsenal. You said that's a trophy. So there you go. He's already won his trophy.
Yeah.
Game week two, your paper game, Chelsea-Liverpool. The Chelsea's first game in the league. Liverpool, obviously, reigning champions.
No, Chelsea play tomorrow, I think.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go. Way to go. You're right. They're at Brighton and Hove. Be interesting. We talked last week, you'll never hear it, about Chelsea's transfers. They've revamped quite a bit. They've probably been the most interesting activity-wise in the transfer market this summer in the entire world. So looking forward to see how they line up, see if Pulisic's still on the field, et cetera, et cetera. So keep an eye on that Monday, and then next Sunday against Liverpool should be a good one there.
Yep, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else?
I like the story for me for Chelsea is that last year was like, I think we gave Frank like it was a free pass, right? They had no transfers and he was young and it was like, whatever happens, blah, blah, blah. This year it's like the opposite, right? They spend like $200 million over the summer. No one else is really spending. They're spending a ton. Now it's fucking
and they were
on.
Pretty good last year. So he's raised the bar
on
himself.
Turned out to be good.
Right?
Yep. And so now it's the pressure is on. So that's not just a Liverpool champions, Chelsea, a big club with a big name. No, Chelsea have real title ambitions. So we'll see if that's, we're going to find out if they're for real pretty early. Very excited.
Love it. Let's do it. All right. Timbers are kicking off in a few minutes. So I'm out of here, boys.
Shit, I forgot.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Bye.
Bye.
Those were some good outtakes last week that we will never see the light of day.
I wish I could say I was sorry, but I was just happy to be in the Zoom call with you guys. Echo. Empathies nuts.
This is the sound of drowner. The fire starter.
Hey, how long have you guys been recording?
Oh, I didn't start with you guys.
I started 2 minutes and 50 seconds ago.
All right. I'm at 254. All right. So we're good. All right.
This is the sound of drowner.
That was Dan's. I was pretty drunk.
Yeah, I agree. Ability and swagger, but also other things.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're whack.
So George wraps up by saying people should never be compared to George. Even the all-time greats are not. George,
you're not from Milwaukee. Yeah, bish. I got hard at one point. I only got hard at one point in that entire trip. Peacock blocked. Me?
I just want you guys to know that he is as bad as you think he is.